looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, October the 20th, 2021. It is currently 5:27 p.m. Central Time, and I'm coming to you live from the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas. And I've been here for, well, a little over an hour. I've done one live broadcast. The microphone's on, so I'm going to do another. I'm going to be here to at least 8 o'clock tonight. And at 7 o'clock, we'll start our live in-person service, and that will be broadcasted live right here under the Theology Central podcast. So feel free to tune in. We'll be dealing with 1 John, and we'll continue our discussions about that. We won't do a whole review of everything we're going to be doing then. But for now, let's turn our attention to a subject that we've talked about a lot here on this podcast. Let's talk about America. Well, Americans, let's do this. Let's talk about Americans and the worldview they hold to. Let's talk about the worldview that many Americans hold to, what that means about America, but most importantly, what does that mean about the church? What can we learn from it? Let's discuss it. I have here an audio clip from a podcast that comes on Monday through Friday. They do episodes every Monday through Friday where they talk about, well, things happening in the news, and they try to do so from a biblical and theological perspective. Let's look at what they talked about from today's episode, and then I'll offer my thoughts and my commentary and see if we can make this an interesting discussion. And of course, if you're listening live, feel free to offer your thoughts and your perspective, or you can always email me your thoughts and perspective at newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. Let's jump right in.
Wednesday, October 20th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to a George Barna survey, which he says the United States is facing a worldview crisis. He indicates that 94% of Americans reject a biblical worldview. Now, he goes on to say that 51% of Americans believe they do have a biblical worldview, but in reality, only about 6% do. Barna goes on to describe...
Now, let's just stop right there. So basically, 6% of people actually have a true biblical worldview. Most Americans do not. Most Americans reject it. 50% believe, 50-something percent believe they actually do have a biblical worldview, but in reality, only 6% do. All right, we can look at this. People can get upset about it. They can get, troubled by it, concerned about where we're headed in the future. Let me just, again, I have to offer my perspective because I know my perspective is always in the minority, but let me make it very clear. The world not having a biblical worldview does not concern me or bother me because, well, that's the world. They're unbelievers. So why? I mean, they need conversion. They don't need, and I want to make it very clear. The lost world doesn't need a biblical worldview necessarily imposed upon them. What many Christians want to do is they want to take a Christian worldview and they want to impose it on lost people, right? Okay, you're lost. You don't really know how things should work. So we're Christians. We know better. So we're going to impose our view upon you. And almost we want to do this politically, legally. And that always concerns me when Christians want to do that, because imposing a biblical worldview on unregenerate people only is going to ultimately lead to resentment, bitterness, hatred, and then turning against the church because the church, quote unquote, is trying to throw their morality upon them and shove it down their throats. Christianity, from a New Testament perspective, was never to be forced upon people politically, legally. We are to preach it. We are to proclaim the truths of Christianity. We are to proclaim a biblical worldview, call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And it's teach, conversion, then baptism, then discipleship. Anytime you hear a Christian like, we need to pass this law, we need to do this, and we need to do this, and we need to do that, sometimes it seems that they really want to make basically America a Christian nation through the use of political power and through legal passing bills and or boycotts and whatever other forcible method that they can come up with. And I don't understand why we would ever do that. A sinner doesn't need a biblical world imposed on them. A sinner needs conversion, and that comes through the proclamation of the gospel. Once they are saved, then you teach them to obey all the things that Christ has instructed. That's how it's supposed to work. So I'm not concerned about the lack of a biblical worldview of those in the world. I expect them to have an unbiblical worldview. I expect them not to like the biblical worldview. And my job is to then try to present the gospel to them and then obviously pray for God to do the work of saving them, because I can't save them. God can only do that. And that God supernaturally, effectually calls them and brings them to salvation. That's the way it works. What concerns me is the lack of a biblical worldview within the church. The lack of biblical thinking in the church. That's where we should be bothered. It's like we're Christians always want to fight this culture war against those outside the church, and we sometimes ignore the culture inside the church, and that's where the problem is. We have a lack of biblical understanding, biblical illiteracy, theological illiteracy, illiteracy about church history within the church. The church needs to focus on getting Christians to actually read, study, and actually understand the scriptures. But what I see over and over and over is shallow preaching, horrible hermeneutics, and Christians who don't know the Bible, don't study the Bible, don't read the Bible, and rarely can even hold even a meaningful discussion about anything related to doctrine or theology. That's where the issue is. That's where it should be. So whenever I hear these worldview issues or discussions or programs, I'm always like, okay, look, the world, okay, what do you expect? They're unregenerate. So what's the solution? The solution is to the problem is evangelism and discipleship and getting Christians to actually study the Bible, actual meaningful study. That's what we have to focus on. So I'm going to back this up.
What America is struggling.
Okay, I'm going to back this up a little bit. I'm just going to play the whole thing again. All right, here we go. So you can get the statistic and then we can move on to their comments.
Wednesday, October 20th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to a George Barna survey, which he says the United States is facing a worldview crisis. He indicates that 94% of Americans reject a biblical worldview. Now, he goes on to say that 51% of Americans believe they do have a biblical worldview, but in reality, only about 6% do. Barna goes on to describe what America is struggling with, and he says not having a biblical worldview is the thing that drives all of these other difficulties we have in America today. He says this is the root crisis of every other political, financial, societal, and cultural crisis facing our nation.
When you walk up to them, 50%+ say, oh, yes, I want to think with Christian clarity, a Christian world and life view. But then when you begin to ask the questions, you find out very quickly that there is an absence of a Christian world and life view. On the contrary, the progressive, secular, humanist, and many times pragmatist or materialist view is actually what is governing the vast majority. That would be actually 94% of American citizens. Now, how did we get there when at one time a Christian world and life view was the common perspective of the American citizen? What?
Oh, boy. Okay. Once again, it almost seems to always, it's the progressive. Now, when you say progressive, that seems to be throwing in kind of a political kind of idea. That's 94%. They're going to have this progressive, almost, in fact, we'll just go through his description one more time here. Wait, I'll go back here. We'll see. Let's see if we can get it all here one more time. Let's go see. Here we go.
It would be actually 94% of American citizens. Now, how did we get there?
All right, we're going to have to go back further than that. Here we go. We'll get it back. Here we go. The backup button here for my software is not very good. All right, here we go.
Your list view is actually what is.
All right, we still didn't go back far enough. Here we go. We'll go back far enough because I want us to hear this to make sure that my criticism I'm getting ready to put forth is accurate.
Of a Christian world and life view. On the contrary, the progressive, secular, humanist, and many times pragmatist or materialist view is actually what is governing the vast majority. That would be
All right, so he says progressive, secular, humanist, materialist. Okay, the materialist, humanist, no question, secular, no question. But when you throw in the progressive, that seems to throw in somewhat of a political term, right? A you know, almost like progressive liberal kind of terminology. And I get very concerned when I hear that because here's this mindset within much of Christianity. See, the problem in the world is they've embraced this secular, humanist, progressive kind of thing. And but Christians never seem to realize, wait a minute, it's also not a biblical worldview to hold to a conservative viewpoint. It's almost like we always leave that out. Like, hey, as long as you're conservative, right? If you're Republican and conservative, then somehow that's biblical. But that I want to make it very clear. A conservative Republican worldview in many cases is just as problematic as a progressive or liberal one. Now, and sometimes it's even more problematic because many cases conservatives or Republicans will utilize some Christian ideals to put forth that, but it becomes this weird mixture hybrid that corrupts Christianity. It's not pure Christianity. It becomes something else. So a lot of times when Christians talk about the problem of the worldview out there, they mention all kinds of elements, but they never mention what I will call the right-leaning, politically conservative, Republican ideology and worldview that many Christians just accept as being Christian and never call it into question and never look. If the progressive liberal worldview shows up in your church, many Christians will get upset and mad and leave. But if their church is swimming in a right-wing conservative political ideology, many will stay in that church and tolerate it. Like they wouldn't tolerate the progressive liberal hijacking, but the conservative one, it's like, well, we can handle this because at least they're saying things similar. But if it stops being biblical, if it stops being Christian, or if it corrupts Christianity in any way, shape, or form, that's not a biblical worldview. And so everyone always wants to mention, in a sense, the problem from one side. I keep saying this. Christianity is being compromised, corrupted, systematically destroyed from two different sides, right and left, progressive and conservative, liberal and Republican, Democrat and Republican, however you want to use it. Now, he may be using the word progressive differently, but whenever I hear that, that's usually where the discussion goes within Christianity. And I just want you to realize the problem is from both sides. And let me say it again. The problem is from both sides. Both sides have to be pushed back against and go, no. Christian, Bible, theology, doctrine, not Tucker Carlson, Fox News, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, whomever you want to throw in on the conservative side. It's not on the liberal side. It's not progressive. It's not MSNBC, CNN, Rachel Maddow, whomever you want to put on the liberal side. No. None of that has any place within historical biblical Christianity. That's what we have to realize. So I don't care from which side. We have to see that everyone wants America to be a conservative. I think some Christians want America to be more defined by a conservative political philosophy more than it does biblical Christianity. And some mix the two so much they can't tell them apart.
Actually, 94% of American citizens. Now, how did we get there when at one time a Christian world and life view was the common perspective of the American citizen? One of the ways we got there is we have allowed the...
Now, this is very important. Do you believe, honestly, that at any time that most Americans truly had a biblical worldview? Now, this could lead to a very interesting argument. I think some of you would argue, no, that one time America truly had a biblical worldview. Did it have a truly biblical worldview, or did it have an American worldview that did rely on certain aspects of Christianity, Judeo-Christian ethics, but it didn't always reflect an actual biblical worldview? I mean, you have to really think about that. You could look at a number of issues. How did America handle the Native Americans? Was that a biblical worldview? How did the average American supporting what was done, was that biblical or not biblical? Racism, Jim Crow laws, slavery. Was that a truly biblical worldview? Now, I'm not here trying to bash America. I'm just trying to say that I think it's so easy to always say, there was a time that all Americans held a biblical worldview. There was a time that Americans were very religious in their thinking. They definitely brought in the concept of God and the concept of morality, which you could say derived from the influence of Christianity and Judaism. I will not deny that in any way, shape, or form. But to say they held a truly biblical worldview, you could say they held a truly biblical influenced worldview. But I don't know if it was ever truly biblical in a real meaningful way, because to be truly biblical means the Bible would be the dominating, guiding principle on so many issues. And I think you can see some major issues where something went horribly wrong, right? Maybe? I don't know. All right. Let's continue. He's going to say what went wrong. Here we go.
Educational enterprise to shift from those who acknowledge their religious convictions and a world and life view to those who don't acknowledge their religious convictions, but they do have religious convictions, and their religion is secularism and humanism, and it is not only opposed to a God-centered world and life view, it is adversarially opposed to it, in that it wants to eradicate any vestige of a Christian world and life view. And
okay, so what went wrong is education. Education went wrong. That's where everything went wrong. Blame, see, I love Christians. Let's put it's the educational system. That's where everything went wrong. It was it was the schoolhouse, not the church house. It was the classroom. It was not the pulpit. It was the public school teacher, not the preacher. Now, I will say, if you go back, way back, I started yelling and screaming about what was going on within Christianity, going all the way back to when I became a Christian as a teenager in a Southern Baptist church 3 miles from where I'm currently sitting, right? But in Tuscola, Texas, First Baptist Church, Tuscola, Texas, the church is still there. I can walk back into that church. That's where, in a sense, my conversion took place. That's where God saved me. And it took me literally, I felt like 30 minutes for me to go, wait a minute, this is not what I thought Christianity was going to be. Because I didn't know what to expect. But when you become a Christian, you're like, okay, I'm a Christian. This is how it all worked for me. So the Bible is God's inspired word. So you're telling me there's a God, all-knowing, all-powerful, holy, knows everything. This is his word, and I'm holding my Bible in my hand. This is his word? All right, let's do it. Let's study it. And then I go to quote-unquote youth group, and I'm like, wait a minute. We're doing what? Fun, food, pizza party, trips to Six Flags, capture the flag. Wait. So I come to church for just a lot of fun? I thought, this is God's word. No. So, hey guys, on Friday night, let's get together and let's study. Oh, nobody wants to study the Bible. Okay. So, all right, Sunday school. Oh, wait. This is the Sunday school class for teenagers? This is Bible teaching? Okay, now, okay. So then I immediately started going, wait, the church is all about activities and fun and food. I don't need the church for fun, food, and activities. I don't need you. It's almost like I kept trying to tell pastors, I don't need you to entertain me. I don't need you to feed me. I don't need you to entertain me. I don't need you to give me activities. The one thing I desperately need is to know everything I can about this book that you told me is from God, but nobody here seems too interested in it. It wasn't the schoolhouse that was the problem. It was the church house. Because if I wanted to really learn doctrine and theology, I had to go get it from somewhere other than the church house, because the church house was an absolute complete joke. And I know I get angry when I say that, but I'm so tired. We always blame everyone else. It's the educational system. So was it the educational system's responsibility to teach everyone a Christian worldview? Is that what's being implied here? The educational system, see, they started teaching a different form of religion. They're secular religion. Well, why is it the schoolhouse's responsibility to teach a Christian worldview? Why? It's a public school. You know the word public? Not private, not Christian, public. It's not there to just teach Christian kids Christianity. It's not there to teach the quote-unquote pagan kids Christianity. It's not there to teach a religion. Now, you could argue that maybe they do violate that by teaching secularism, which basically becomes a religion. I'm willing to at least hear that complaint. But I'm so tired. We always blame the school. And of course, that's the first one he mentions. What went wrong? The education. Now, I'm hoping it gets to the church. I'm hoping it gets to the church. But I'm just so tired. What do you want the schools to do? Look, I cannot stand when I hear that Christian parents, like, you know, we want prayer back in the public school. Why? It's not the public school's job to get to lead in prayer. Here's what you can do. You could open your church at 5 a.m. and tell any young people headed to school, you can stop by and pray in the church. Or wait, do they need to stop by the church and pray? No, they want a publicly led prayer in the school. Why? Why do you need a public led prayer in the school? And if you're going to let Christians pray in the school, then you got to let Muslims. You got to let anybody. You got to let every religion. So whose prayer do you want? Well, no, we only want Christian prayer. Well, oh, so I know how. We want the Bible taught in public school. Well, what about the Quran? What about the Satanic Bible? What? No, we don't want that. So it's like many Christians want the public school to do what the church doesn't do. See, the church is too busy entertaining your kids, and you want your kids entertained so that they won't gripe about going to church. So you find a church where there's plenty of fun, food, and activity for your kids. They're theologically ignorant. They don't know doctrine, Bible, or anything, but hey, they were entertained, so you're happy, they're happy, and then you want the public school to do what the church should have been doing. I'm so tired of the public school system getting blamed for this particular problem. Now, and listen, I'm not a fan of the public school system. I hate the public school system. But that's because of educational reasons. That's because I think the public school system is just there's so many issues about it. But that's from an educational standpoint. I think in some cases education can occur in a better case. I'm not looking for the educational part of child's development to be doing the church's job. It's the church's job to provide that education. It's not the public school system's job to try to make sure that everyone grows up with a good Christian biblical worldview. It's not the public school system. It's public school. It has to be available and treat everyone, not just your worldview. All worldviews have to be somehow handled in a public situation. Now, you can say that maybe sometimes they show a bias. I'm willing to accept that. But why would I expect the world not to have a bias against Christianity? Right? I mean, why would I expect anything other than that, right? The world will hate you. Isn't that kind of what we're supposed to expect? All right. Okay, let me back this up just a little bit. Oh man. I get fired up whenever I hear it's the educational system. It's always the educational system. All right, here we go.
It is not only opposed to a God-centered world and life view, it is adversarially opposed to it in that it wants to eradicate any vestige of a Christian world and life view, and by and large, since 1960, have engaged in highly successful tactics to accomplish that. George Barna has done this research and has given his report to the Family Research Council, and you can go check out the report. Now, Tom, I said one of the reasons why is because of the success of the secular progressive humanist movement that has captured the educational apparatus from a top-down authoritarianism out of the Department of Education in Washington that has destroyed the local control of schools and the input of parents since the 1960s under the influence of Peter Berger and his wife and their influence on public education, which was basically strategies to implement John Dewey's vision, which was to disconnect children from their parents and make them citizens of a state that was entirely secular and materialist. And that's what's been happening. And of course,
now we could talk about that, that the public school system has a philosophy, has an ideology. But again, I want to make it clear, it's not the public school's job to turn out Christians. It's not the public school's job to make sure your kid has a biblical worldview. It's not their job. It's the job of the church and the job of parents, not the job of the school. So look at what's happening in the church. Stop blaming the school. Most churches, their youth program is a complete and utter joke. Those kids come out so biblically illiterate that they don't know anything. They don't know anything. They don't know anything about church history, theology, doctrine. They couldn't even explain to you in many cases how to even, they don't know hermeneutics. They don't even know how to study the Bible. It's just a joke. Many, all they ever get is don't drink, don't have sex, don't listen to rock and roll, don't dance. You know, it's more about morality than it is theology. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, listen, I understand there's always exceptions. If your church has the exception, thank you. Praise God. Be happy. If your church is right there a part of the problem, stop blaming the public school system. Oh, I guess so. Oh, man. I don't know. It's like Christians want everyone to do their job. They give me, Netflix shows movies that don't, that's not nice to Christianity. What are we going to do? Oh, wow. So Netflix has a responsibility to promote Christianity? Oh, no. Network television programs, they show things that are so counter to Christianity. I don't know what I'm going to do. Is it network television's responsibility to promote Christianity? No, it's none of their jobs to do that. It's not their jobs. Their jobs are completely different. Focus on what's going on in the church. It's like Christians just want the whole world to be right there to never challenge and to never try to pull anyone away from a Christian worldview. Well, then you could have Muslims going, I'm mad that the public school system doesn't support Islam and doesn't promote Sharia law. And I'm upset. It's like everyone who's religious could be upset that the society doesn't do enough to promote or defend their religion. But that's not the way it's supposed to work, right? Right? No. See, yeah, I guess maybe I support adamantly the separation of church and state. I don't want the state promoting it, doing anything. I want the state to just give me freedom. That's the only thing I want the state to do. Give me freedom to preach. Give me freedom to proclaim. Give me freedom to do that. Then I proclaim it. God has to do the saving. And then I have a responsibility of doing the discipling. My job is to proclaim it. God has to do the saving because we're dealing with dead sinners. And then my job is to disciple. That's it. End of story. I don't need the world to get involved in trying to do it. And I definitely don't need the educational system. The educational system has a hard enough time teaching people how to read, write, and do arithmetic. I want them to throw theology in the mix.
The vast majority of our population is now educated in the public system. So this is the result of what you're getting. You're getting 94% who have no concept of a biblical world and life view.
Now, see, he just implied, hey, most of them go to a public school and they come out with no biblical worldview. Are you literally expecting the public school system to give them a biblical worldview? If that's what he just implied, that is insane. That scares me to death. That's almost wanting a theocracy. That's almost like wanting you to know. That's garbage. What would a Christian do if the school system started promoting Islam? No, you can't do that. Well, why? If you can try to demand that that the public school system is there to give people a biblical worldview, then why can't someone argue that the public school system is there to give someone an Islamic worldview or a satanic worldview or a Mormon worldview or a Jehovah's Witness or just any other religion? Buddhism. Just go. We can go all day. Just name every religion we can come up with. Wicca. Like the Wiccans may want their kids to come out of the public school system with a Wiccan worldview. I mean, like he just implied that, you know, 94% of these people are educated in the public school system and they come out with a non-biblical worldview. Really? Because it's not the school's job to give it. Do you really? Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm going to try to remain calm. I may just have to lay down here on the floor. Someone may need to call an ambulance, okay? Because this just drives. Oh, okay. He's got to talk about the fault of the church. He has to. Okay. I'm waiting for it.
Because it is absent, even though there are heroic efforts of Christians as teachers, administrators, and principals, the curriculum control and the financial leverage that is now being exercised at the federal level and at the state level has eviscerated local control and the opportunity to accomplish what needs to be accomplished.
Heroic efforts by Christian teachers? So it's heroic for a Christian to circumvent the public educational system for the purpose of to proselytize and to promote Christianity? That's heroic? Well, then it would be heroic for an Islamic teacher to do that. It would be heroic for an Islamic administrator to do that. But Christians will say, no. Why do you want to circumvent the public education system for the purpose of promoting Christianity? That is insanity. I can't even believe I'm listening to this. I'm having a hard time even realizing what I'm listening to. What do Christians want? I don't get it. Let's just continue.
And rather thoughtless elections whereby we have allowed people to be put on school boards that come out of that system. But Tom, there's a bigger issue, and that bigger issue is the church no longer is discipling its people.
Okay. Now, finally, all right, he's going to get to the church. I'm glad he's going to get to the church. I am very glad that he's getting to the church here. I am still, though, we can't just move on because I do want to hear what he has to say about the church. And he says they're not discipling the people. I would 100% agree with this. And I'm glad, I am super glad he's mentioned. He said it's a bigger deal. So maybe he should have started with this one. Okay, but before we hear what he has to say about the church, let me just say, this is the most convoluted, misguided thing that I've ever heard, trying to act like that it's the school system's job. I'm going to be as dogmatic as I can. It is not the public school's job to promote, teach, educate anyone to have a biblical worldview. It is not the public school's job to ensure anyone has a biblical worldview. It is not. And if you think that it is, let me just tell you what you're setting up. If you argue, let's say you win. Okay, we win. We get Christians there and we turn the public school system and basically into an arm of the local church. Let's say you pull that off. Okay, great. You won. Now, we are in a country where there's elections and people move and things change. All right. So let's say you win. And for 2 years, your local school is the arm of I don't know which church. Is it going to be the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Pentecostal? So which biblical worldview are they going to get? The Baptist biblical worldview, the Reformed biblical worldview, the Arminian worldview. So I don't know if we're going to come to an agreement with there, but let's just say you get a biblical worldview in and everything's great. 2 years. And then all of a sudden, some Muslims say, you know what? This is a bunch of garbage. Since obviously the school can be religious, let's move towards an Islamic one. And let's say they win. They win the school board elections. They win the jobs as administrator. And so now your local school becomes basically an arm of the local mosque. Are you going to accept that? Now, if you don't accept that, then you're a hypocrite. Because if you think the school can be religious, then you have to allow, because that's the way it works in America, unless what these people are really arguing for is they want an actual theocracy put into place. And if they want a theocracy, I'm scared to death. That just scares me to death. Because anytime you have, basically when you have Christianity and the state joining forces, so basically like some kind of a theocracy, go through church history. Whenever that happens, people start dying. People start dying. Man, it's just insanity that this would Wow. Okay, now let's see what he has to say about the church.
Go to church for an entertainment concert on Sunday. Whatever you do, do not preach a challenging sermon. Expositional preaching of God's word is gone. What is the church supposed to do? Well, here's what the church is supposed to do. Jesus made it abundantly clear. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That is, teach and preach the whole counsel of God, the word of God. The reason that Christians are not educated is because the church no longer is doing discipleship. Discipleship is both informational and relational. Discipleship takes place through modeling and mentoring. But the church has now become a gathering spot for entertainment, for special interest, and a gathering spot as a sociological and therapeutic phenomena, so that people are no longer being equipped with the whole counsel of God, a gospel-based teaching of the Word of God. Expository preaching is gone. We've got 15-minute talks that are given on Sunday. No longer is God's Word expounded. No longer is God's Word read and explained. You come in for a talk, you may reference a Bible verse as a jumping-off point. Pastors are being forced into becoming community organizers, celebrity speakers, instead of pastor teachers who are leading the church on mission to fulfill the Great Commission, on message, preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God with the contours of the gospel, saturating all of our teaching. And then in ministry, worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, etc. So the result is the salt has lost its saltiness. The result is we are not turning out ambassadors for Christ from the kingdom of God into the kingdoms of men. We're not doing that any longer. And the result is the loss of Christian clarity and consensus in the culture and the rise of the progressive culture to the point that it is quickly removing any vestige of Christian world and life view from the public square. And while you, in a sense, admire the passion of the secularists to promote the secular world and life view and the effectiveness of their strategy, we also are dismayed at how quickly the church has been co-opted by the culture. And the reason why? Is that the church has been sold the notion that your mission is cultural transformation. It is not. You want the culture to be transformed. That's a consequence. Our mission is center transformation with the power of the gospel, and with the power of the gospel declaring the righteousness of God, the gift of grace and salvation, and the whole counsel of God, so that people learn that Christ is preeminent in everything. And whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. And the church is there committed to equipping those who have confessed Christ how to live for Christ. All scriptures inspired by God and is profitable for what? Teaching. The church is to be a teaching machine, informationally and relationally, modeling and mentoring. So the scripture is inspired and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. And we desperately need the church on mission, on message, and in ministry. We desperately need seminaries who are training pastors to lead the church on mission, on message, and in ministry. And we desperately need leaders who surround pastors and pastors who are submissive to leaders, so that together we are accomplishing what God's people need and what Christ has called his church to be in our nation, and we have gone beyond the tipping point as these statistics bear out. But we have not gone beyond God's grace. God is able to revive us, to raise up from a valley of dry bones an army of the Lord who will be faithful to the mission Christ has given us, the message he has deposited to us, and the ministries that we are called to implement for his glory and the well-being of the lost as they're saved, and the equipping of the saved as they serve Christ as men and women of God, godly husbands and godly wives, and godly fathers and mothers, and Christian citizens who bring the clarity of a Christian world and life view into the public square with public theology that is consistent with the Word of God as they have been discipled within the ministry of their faithful local church, a church committed to the Great Commission and living out the Great Commandment.
If you would like to view the...
All right. Now, there's much there that I would 1,000% agree with. I believe the church needs to be doing all those things. However, I'm going to throw out some things that the church must, I think, absolutely get rid of, right? The church needs to disciple. We've got to get Christians actually studying their Bibles. That's why I've been doing the Bible study exercise, that whole series, because I believe it's absolutely critical. So here's what the church has to throw out. I know everyone's going to disagree with me, but this has to go. Are you ready? Number one, the entire seminary industrial complex needs to be burnt to the ground. Now, I'm not calling for actual buildings to be burnt to the ground, but the whole seminary philosophy, which is, oh, you're in this local church? Oh, you want to go to ministry? Here you go. You go off to that school and get thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. That, to me, there's no biblical grounds for that. I think that's ridiculous. Train the men for ministry inside the local church. Train them for ministry inside the local church. Train them for ministry inside the local church. The pastor teaches them, trains them. You can do it in some form of a Bible institute. I don't care what the academic way you accomplish it, but you train them with ministry, not only having them engage in ministry, seeing ministry at work there in the local church, but they are being equipped. They're being trained. You give them assignments. You give them homework. You give them tests. You give them books to read. You challenge them. Now, if you do need any other additional educational things for them to do, like if they want to, you know, work on studies in certain languages, which is like Greek or Hebrew, then by all means, utilize what the systems out there to accomplish that. But almost everything else other than maybe some specialized training, like in the study of, say, languages, or maybe you want to specialize in a study of maybe ancient biblical manuscripts, there's certain areas of specialty training, then okay, I can see that. But just to learn how to be a pastor, to preach... hermeneutics. You can learn, the pastor can teach that, and you can give them basics in Greek and Hebrew. You can tell them how to use the tools that are available to them. You can help. The local church should be able to train them, right? Then allow them to do work in ministry within the local church, and then ordain them, and then send them out with some financial support so they start off financially stable and ready to engage in ministry, even allowing them to go to a very, 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 very small church or even start a church because they have financial backing right from the beginning and they don't have any school debt at all. That's how it should work. We've got the whole seminary thing to me is ridiculous. And I've gone to all kinds of schools. But I've also realized that some of my best educational experience wasn't at Grace University, you know, and Omaha, Nebraska. Yes, I learned a lot there, but it was in a small independent fundamental Baptist Church's Bible Institute that I was there Saturday mornings from, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. in the evening. And we just sit there and, you know, went through books and talked and ministry and learned how to preach and just so many different things. Now, you could say that education wasn't on par with maybe some big seminary, but I will tell you there was something far more genuine and real sitting there, you know, eating lunch with those guys, talking about ministry and what our future plans were. Now, I felt that I needed more education than was provided there. And I went and pursued more because I wanted as much education as I could get. But I found every way to do it so that I did not get in debt. But I think the whole seminary educational system is just ridiculous. The local church should be the one training the men, All right, so that's number two. This whole, I'm so tired of everyone talking and condemning the celebrity speaker, right? And then many of those same people who condemn the celebrity speaker will support the very thing that gives rise to the celebrity speaker. And you know what that is? These ridiculous conferences where you pay hundreds of dollars to get in to hear people preach God's word. When someone charges you money to walk through a door to hear someone preach God's word to you, you know that you're in the wrong place. I don't care how great they preach. I don't care how popular they are. No one should charge you money to hear God's word preached. So we need to not only do we need to burn down the whole seminary industrial complex, we need to burn down the entire conference industrial complex where preaching God's word has now become a business and God's word is the product that we sell. You want to hear so-and-so preach? Well, they're going to be at this conference. It's only $60. It's only $200. Early registration's only $299. Register now so you can hear people preach the Bible, which is insanity. That needs to be destroyed. All right, so those are two things that just absolutely need to be destroyed. And a third thing that he just conveniently left out. The church has been co-opted by culture, but we always leave out that it's been co-opted also by a political right-leaning ideology. The church has been politically hijacked, and we need to rip out and burn all the political corruption to the church, whether it's left or right. So we got to get rid of the whole seminary garbage. Oh, just drives me crazy. You know, hey, go spend, you know, $100,000 to get an education. No. Right here in the local church. That's where it should take place. That's where. But a lot of men don't want that. Where did you go to school? Well, I went to my church's Bible Institute. Oh, okay. Well, I went to Dallas Theological Seminary. I went to Westminster Theological Seminary. I'm smarter than you. It's about male ego in many cases than it is about anything else. No, that time with your pastor, learning, being challenged, there's something personal about, he knows you. He can share with you his struggles and you can learn from that. He can share his failures with you. You can be involved. You can be taught and then you don't have to go in debt, and you can be a part of a local church, your local church, through the entire process. And then that church knows you. That church is the one who can say, they can listen to you preach and go, yeah, we think that you have the gift. Everything just works better in that setting. That's the way it should be. And then I'm so tired of the conferences. I get emails all the time. Register now for this conference. Early bird registration, $199, so I can go hear people preach God's word. Yeah, okay. All right. No. No, thank you. Not going. Not giving you a dime, okay? Because God's word is not a product that you sell the preaching of it for. I cannot handle that. But Christians don't have a problem with it. No. And then the political hijacking of the American church. It's right and left. We always point out the left hijacking, the left co-opting, but never the right. I don't get that. Why can't we see that? I don't care where the political influence comes. It's wrong, because the church is to stay away from the political influence. But it's not the job of the educational system to educate people into a biblical worldview. That's ridiculous. But the church has failed miserably at discipling people, and not just discipling people. Let me make it very clear. Disciple, because a lot of times we think we disciple people like, let's have a discipleship class. For 6 weeks, everyone shows up, we'll do discipleship. I'm not saying that that's bad, but what you've got to do is get people to actually do this. Study the Bible. Like, read it. Study it. They know how to outline it. They know how to interpret it. That's what we need. That's why I do the Bible study exercises podcast series. That's why we're doing that, because I realize that's where the church is messing up. People are not actually studying the Bible. Now, trying to get people to participate in the Bible study exercises, I have found it to be very, 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 very difficult to get people to actually do the work. Send it to me. Do the work. It's difficult to get people to do that, but that's proof of the problem. That's the proof of the problem, because people are like, they'll listen to you, but for them to sit down and dedicate time that they're gonna turn off their television, they're gonna turn off everything else, and they're gonna open a Bible and they're gonna really engage in serious Bible study. Yeah, you find out how difficult that is. That's the problem of the church, because you cannot have a biblical worldview if you don't have knowledge of the Bible. And the only way to get knowledge of the Bible is not just to be taught what someone tells you it says, but to actually learn to study it for yourself. There you have it. I'll stop right there. You can email me your disagreement to newsif@yahoo.com. Newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. Let the discussion begin. I will look forward to hearing your response. God bless.